continue, we follow the order of confession and absolution in Divine Service Setting 3, page 184, and as printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, you were favorable to your land.
You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sin.
You withdrew all your wrath.
You turned from your hot anger.
Restore us again, O God of our salvation.
And put away your indignation toward us.
Will you be angry with us forever?
Will you prolong your anger to all generations?
Will you not revive us again?
That your people may rejoice in you.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet.
Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground.
And righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good.
And our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him.
And make his footsteps a way.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning at verse 7. So you, Son of Man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way. That wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have been delivered, you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to
There were some at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or these 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, take my hand and lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go astray. So take
close my eyes.
The sermon this morning is mostly on the text of the gospel reading from Luke chapter 13, but also thoughts of it are drawn from a reading from Ezekiel 33. To start, I reread verse 4 and 5 of Luke 13. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can follow along on the light purple half sheet of the outline of the sermon if you'd like. Jesus is teaching in the temple area and during Holy Week. And something happened that the people wanted to bring to Jesus' attention, to get feedback from him, see what he would say. It was current events. It says there in verse 1 of Luke 13, at that time they told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This was a man-made disaster. This was a cruelty that they were talking about, that they noted to Jesus. So the Galileans were Jews up from the area of the Lake of Galilee, kind of the old northern tribe area. And when would it happen that Pilate might kill them and mix their blood with their sacrifices? It would be when they were in Jerusalem offering sacrifices. That's the only type of situation where this could take place. So this is the same Pilate who was judged, or who was the judge of Jesus' trial. And at some time then, there were Galilean Jews who were in Jerusalem for a festival, very likely a Passover festival, because at that time, for a Passover festival, the lay person, not just the priest or the Levite, but for the Passover, the lay person helped with the sacrifice. And so at the Passover, the Jews who were making their sacrifices would be very close to where everything was happening. So we don't know for certain, but it's likely it was a Passover. And at this big, high festival, somehow Pilate came in and killed them. And killed them in such a way so that even the blood of the lambs and the young goats used at the Passover festival was mixed in right there. So this is a very high festival. And this is a slaughter during a high festival. We don't have anything so comparable to that, although we could say what is one of our most holy and highest things that we do as Christians is take the Lord's Supper, the Lord's body and blood. And doesn't that happen sometimes when somebody comes in during a church service and kills people? And that's what happened here. It was during a high festival at the temple, and the government came in and killed them during the sacrifice. So it was outrageous. It was a tragedy. It was offensive. Everything. And Jesus uses this to teach them. And he says here, well, were these Galilean Jews worse sinners? Were they worse? Why did this happen to them than other Galileans? Why did it happen? And Jesus says, they're not worse. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. And that's shortened, paraphrased what he said. He brings this case up of this man-made tragedy, this slaughter, this unjust thing that happened. And it happened to these people here. And Jesus says, so are they worse than others? And Jesus says, no. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. And then he brings in another case. And this case is not a man-made disaster or tragedy or injustice, but this is a natural event, we might say it, we call it. This is just something that happened. This tower fell upon this group of people while they're in Jerusalem. So Jesus says, so because that tower fell on them, do you think it's their worse? Why did it happen to them? Human minds think that way, don't we? We want to know why it happened. And Jesus brings it up in these two questions. But he doesn't answer his own question that they're probably all thinking or wondering about. He says, don't think that they're worse or not, but think about your own life in God. There's a lot of things that are going on around the world. We have Ukraine. We have natural disasters in the U.S. by which we're helping people as we can. And other things happen. There's earthquakes that happen and tsunamis, and so many things. Sometimes it's people's fault. Sometimes it's people's meanness. Sometimes our technology breaks down, a nuclear power plant melts down. And sometimes it's a force we don't control. So whether it's man-made, man-done, humans have done it, or whether it's a force more than us, in both cases, Jesus says, don't think of it in terms of who is worse and who is better. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. We like to figure out why this happens so I can stop it, so that I can have some power, or maybe I can blame somebody. But Jesus doesn't want us to think in those terms. Jesus wants to think in terms of our relationship with God and looking to Him for life. Sometimes when we think or others think, why did that happen to that person? Sometimes we think, well, I must be better, or that person was worse, or whatever. The truth of the matter is that the scriptures are very clear that God's wrath is against all sin, against all people. Did you hear that reading? Did you listen closely to that reading from Ezekiel? He told Ezekiel, if they're wicked people and you don't tell them their wickedness, their blood is on you. God's people must be honest and clear about human sin. And if we don't warn one another, if we don't tell each other, and if the preacher doesn't, God blames us because we knew and we didn't warn. On the back side of that handout, that point two, the reality of God's wrath against all people, I just have a quote from Romans 3. I'm going to read it, and you can listen or you can read whatever is best for you. And I quote from Romans 3, verse 9 and going, Paul wrote, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. And in this section here, he quotes a number of Old Testament passages. And I didn't even put them all. He has more than this. But Paul quotes, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And then I skip to verse 19, where Paul concludes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and that the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. No one, no person can stand before God and his or her own good works. Think about it carefully. As soon as we try to find blame, why did that happen to that person and not this person? Why did it happen to me and not that person? All of a sudden, we're doing some measurements about who's better and about who's worse. And all of a sudden, we're talking in words of the law. But the law won't, God's law won't let us talk like that. God's law says we're all condemned and we're all sinners. If you are trying to find who is worse and who is better and why it happened to this person and not that person, then you are saying, I can discern God's law, who is better and worse, when it clearly all are sinners. The law doesn't allow us to do that. Somehow then we're thinking up our own laws and our own measurements, not God's. This is why Jesus says, unless you repent, this will happen to you also. Because if you start saying who's worse and who's better, you've missed the point. The point is all are sinners. And the point is we all deserve that. How great is God's mercy on us that we live in a country where that isn't happening like what's in Ukraine? It's not because we're better or worse before God. We're all sinners. And really the question is, if we are so sinful, then why doesn't God just wipe us all out now? We're all sinners before him. His wrath is real and great against sin. So why doesn't he carry that out? Well, that is the reality of God's grace. There is a reality of wrath that Scripture is very clear about, and Jesus is very clear about, and there is a reality of God's grace and mercy. Why doesn't God want just kill and wipe out everything now? Is because he wants to save. He truly wants to save. I quoted then again there from Ezekiel 33, and you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God doesn't want to punish. The punishment is deserved. But he would wish that he wants, he desires, he has compassion, that people would believe in him and have life. God offers life. He offers forgiveness, and whoever would refuse that is just refusing life and staying in the death and staying in the punishment. That's not what God wants for people. He wants them to live and believe. God's desire is not the death for the sinner, but God desires for people to look to him for life. Whatever is the disaster that happens, human-made or natural causes, whatever one might say it is, God wants us to look to him for life. God wants us to realize, I deserve that to happen to me. Or, that's an awful thing. Who will save me? We look to God. However it moves us to look to God, that's God's purpose. And we know in our lives, it's not always this big public disaster. But sometimes it's individual. Sometimes it's in our own lives. And then sometimes we might say, but that person is so good. Why did that person happen to that person? Or that person is so bad. Why does it not happen to that person? And Jesus is teaching us, he says, don't measure there. Just look at your own life, repent. And if they're suffering, that's your neighbor, help them. The judging is for Jesus. The reasons for the judging is for Jesus. But it is clear in Scripture that God wants to use every situation to turn and look to him for help, for life. Really, really think about it. How ridiculous it is for people not to turn to God. We are all going to suffer and die. This life fades away. We all will get sick. We will all have setbacks. So why would we not turn to life in God, in Christ Jesus? It's a free gift. He doesn't even measure us. He just says, here is my son. You are forgiven. Don't refuse him. Believe and live. Finally, as I was thinking in this passage and Jesus teaching for us, this passage from Peter came to mind. I have it printed there from 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter wrote, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Peter is saying the same thing that God said to Ezekiel to say to the people. He does not wish the wicked to die, but to turn and repent. And Peter says, the Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. There will be a day of judgment, but God is slow in bringing that day so that many would repent. And if you look at that insert, I have a double line under Peter. And that's to remind myself partly. Think of Peter himself. Peter denied Jesus 3 times publicly. He fell away from following Jesus. He denied Jesus. He cursed Jesus, even the text says. And then Jesus, after he rises from the dead, as recorded in John, forgives Peter, calls him to follow him 3 times over, calls him, do you love me, 3 times over. And 3 times over, Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. In these words, it seems to me, Peter is remembering that. Peter is remembering how patient the Lord was with him. And the Lord did not ascend into heaven until he called Peter to follow him again, 3 times. And Peter is saying to his readers, to us, the Lord is patient. He wants to forgive. He calls us. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are holy and righteous, and we are sinners, and help us to not measure our works against anyone, but rather let us depend upon you and what you have done for us, and let us help those in need. Lord Jesus, help us to know your patience, your grace, your forgiveness, and let that fill our minds and hearts and also be able to share with others. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to give your Holy Spirit to many people so that many would come to faith and believe in Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we sing the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 770. The offering is brought forward in the last verse. Congregation is invited to stand for the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church, as printed in the bulletin. One other thing you may notice in the list of people that we're praying for is Pastor Nierman's name is not there. And at the meeting this past week, I asked Pastor Nierman how he was doing, and he said he's doing much better, and he's feeling very fine. I said, we've been praying for you all this time. Should we take your name off the list? He says, yes. You can take me off the list. So I wanted to share that with you, that the Lord is preserving and really healing up Pastor Nierman. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you order and number our days according to your wisdom. Give us repentant hearts, lest we perish with this world of violence and suffering, that we would hold fast to Christ for life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they would turn and live. Give pastors courage to warn of sin and death. Give all Christians strength to defend that message. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers from all unrighteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guard your people against immorality. Grant that our homes would be havens of godly instruction and chastity, and fill marriages with fidelity and love. Give parents strength and resources to help and guide their children and grandchildren. Guard and protect all pregnant mothers and their children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all, you establish justice not through the desires of sinners, but by your law, which is for all. Enlighten the authorities of this and every nation, that they might rule justly for true good. Have mercy upon those suffering and mourning in the midst of war. Bring peace to our world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, remember your people who cry to you for mercy in a world where towers fall and sinners work evil. Deliver those in need of healing and comfort. And we remember Margaret and Charlotte and Loretta, Carlin and Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Sue, Martin, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. We ask you to strengthen them, to look to you for help in their time of affliction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with Pastor Gentner as he takes up his new call in Pennsylvania, to guide and protect all that he does and his family. And we ask you to be with Christ our Savior Lutheran Church to guide them as they enter into a time of vacancy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, you have brought us into your vineyard and pointed us to bear good fruit. Receive our thanks for your patience and grant that we would show your love and grace in all that we say and do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you led your people Israel through the sea and fed them in the wilderness until you delivered them to the promised land. You have also faithfully enlivened your people with Christ by means of holy baptism and holy communion. Receive our thanks for your kindness to the saints who now rest from their labors. Sustain us by your means of grace until you deliver us also to heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
The congregation, please stand for the dismissal blessing. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
The congregation is invited to sit or stand for our closing hymn, 735.
Praise the Lord.